Dickow, another episode of the Bulldog Broadcast for the Field of 68 Media Network. Don't have a guest this week. We're going to get right back to guests next week when the regional TV crew for KHQ and Root Sports, Greg Heister, Richard Fox, and producer extraordinaire Chauncey Jones join me to talk about some of the things that they've seen early in the season, things that they like, maybe a few things that they are concerned about, even though there are not a lot of concerns in Gonzaga land these days. But wanted to kind of quickly recap the last 10 days or so for Gonzaga. And, you know, a lot was said or seen last night with the victory Gonzaga had over Tarleton State in a 64-55 win is, you know, a little bit of a hangover from the week spent down in Las Vegas. And I get it. I agree with it to a certain extent. You know, most college players aren't used to playing four high level, really emotional games in a short amount of time. You looked at the back-to-backs in Vegas of Central Michigan and UCLA. Back-to-backs don't happen very often in college anymore. Really, it's the preseason events such as that was in Vegas and the and the conference tournaments at the end of the year. Those are really the only times you get back-to-backs anymore at the college level. NBA guys, pros, they're used to back-to-backs. They're used to three games and four nights, four games and five nights, whatever it might be. You know, 7-8 days on the road, where college players are still getting acclimated to that type of travel, acclimated to that type of experience being on the road and how to best prepare themselves and produce on the road. But you saw a little bit of that hangover with that return game in Spokane against Tarleton State, which I'll touch on in a minute, but really wanted to kind of focus on the Duke game. Disappointing loss for Gonzaga, 84-81. I say it's disappointing because they were ranked number one in the country. But in all honesty, it's not that big of disappointment because of everything that's transpired with this program. You saw a true power in Duke get excited and amped up to play against Gonzaga on a neutral site game. You saw 20,000 plus fans on a neutral site game to see Gonzaga as a headliner against Duke, who's obviously been a headliner for quite some time. After the game was over and Duke won that game, they acted as almost as if they were the underdog and they knocked off, you know, a power, which is essentially, it's a huge measuring stick as far as how Gonzaga is now seen in the college basketball world, how they should be seen in the college basketball world, and the type of respect that the Gonzaga program gets from programs like a Duke. I mean, you go down the list right now over the last, you know, 7-8 years, Michigan State, Arizona, UCLA, Duke, North Carolina, they're about to play Alabama. All these teams, they want to play Gonzaga. They want to test themselves. And I think that's a tremendous barometer for where this program has gotten to. And I think it's something that, quite frankly, we as Gonzaga fans and former players want to see that become the consistent norm. And we know that it will under Coach Few, of playing big time games, whether it's on the road in the preseason or if it's home and home series, which I truly hope it becomes. Those are great to see. But, you know, to touch on the Duke game a little bit more, you know, it was the Paolo Banchero show in the first half, 20 points in the first half, had some cramp issues. So he didn't play too much and was not nearly as effective in that second half. But I think if you hadn't seen him play before and then you saw him play against Gonzaga, you believe and you understand what all the hype is about. To me, it's clear cut. It's Banchero and it's Holmgren are battling out to be the number one pick. And I don't think either one of them necessarily looks at it as a competition. It seems as if there's a tremendous respect between the two of them. They've played against each other on the AAU circuit and the All-Star Games series before. But I think if you really take a step back and look, they're completely different players. I think Banchero is more NBA ready to step on a floor and contribute immediately. I mean, he would start on basically any NBA team right now. To me, he's a bigger version of Carmelo Anthony, with the ability to pass it a little bit more than Carmelo. And that's no knock on Carmelo whatsoever, because Carmelo is one of the best, you know, 18-foot isolation guys in the history of the game. His live ball jab game is off the charts. And I think you saw a lot of that, or will see a lot of that, with Banchero as the season goes on. I think Banchero's ability to play in transition, make plays off the dribble, and find guys is an unbelievable separator for a young player like that. And when you look at Holmgren, I mean, what did he have? He had 16 points. You know, he did battle a little bit of foul trouble. But people, unfortunately, in this day and age, too many people look at, oh, how many points did he score? How many rebounds did he have? Well, that doesn't give you the total picture on the impact many times that Holmgren has on games. His ability to finish at the rim, I think through eight games now, I think he's finishing 90% or better around the rim. That's astronomical. So his efficiency in the paint is off the charts. His ability to contest and block shots is tremendous, and I think it also puts a lot of fear in the opponent when you turn a corner in a pick and roll and you think you got something. All of a sudden, you quickly look over your shoulder and realize where it, or think, where is he? And then you realize, do I have something or I don't? You have to make a quick decision. So he alters opponents' game plans on both ends of the floor pretty well. You know, the one negative so far with Holmgren's game, and I'm not overly concerned about it at this point. We see that with a lot of freshmen, is turnovers. And the turnovers he's having is because he's trying to make plays for others and make plays for teammates. We saw this at times last year with Jalen Suggs, and as a point guard, is he had a high turnover number for a while in the season because he was trying to make the perfect pass, when many times just the simple pass to move it, advance it to the second side, is all that the play requires. And so I think with continued practice, film work with the coaches, drill work, that's going to get cleaned up in no time. But, you know, those two are clearly, in my estimation, the top two freshmen in the country, but they're also battling out for the number one pick. And I don't think you're going to figure out who is that true number one pick until we know what team has that number one pick, because a lot of it, I think, is going to be based on roster makeup and style of play for that organization to choose between Banchero or Holmgren, because I really don't think you can go wrong.
Before we move on to the next topic, let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time, because they are offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. With their new Rush Pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, more secure, and more reliable. With basketball season tipping off, get in on the action by going to BetRivers.com today or by downloading the BetRivers iOS app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know, back to the Duke game. Duke got off to a great start. They played with a lot of energy. Gonzaga was a little bit on their heels, not like in the Baylor game and the title game a season ago, but they were back on their heels a little bit. Duke came out ready to play. I thought Duke's interior really surprised Gonzaga with their length, their athleticism, and their aggressiveness. Theo John had a couple, the Marquette grad transfer had a couple really big baskets in that second half. Mark Williams was really good, in particular on the defensive end. He was able to really challenge Timmy and make life difficult, you know, with the length that and the strength that those guys had. You know, Timmy's tremendous footwork usually can help him find angles to get finishing opportunities at the rim with either hand or on either block, but those were much more difficult to come by against Duke's interior. And then Wendell Moore Jr., I have not seen him play as well as he played against Gonzaga. He just seemed to do a lot of different things and played with a ton of confidence. And if he can play at that level throughout the course of the year, Duke is absolutely a Final Four level team. Duke didn't get much production out of Trevor Keels, but again, freshman, you're going to have some ups and downs. But when you look at Gonzaga's side of things, you saw, again, a seven-man rotation, very similar to what we saw against Texas earlier in this year. And Coach Few has been known for having a shorter bench in big games and down the stretch of seasons. And, you know, Hickman and Watson were really the only two off the bench that got many minutes. Caden Perry had a couple with minutes because of foul trouble. Hunter Salas had a few minutes. I would imagine Hunter Salas' role can change over the course of the year as he cleans up a few things in his game. But his game has been great, in my estimation, as a freshman coming in, learning how to play a different style, essentially, than what he did in high school. Ball dominant guard who could do a lot of different things. You know, now the ball's not in his hands, and he has to learn, you know, finding opportunities out in transition, finding angles to cut and timely cuts to be able to be opportunistic. But I think Salas defensively has been great, and that's one reason I think, you know, he will stay in the rotation throughout the course of the year. But Gonzaga was great on the glass. They were, you know, they battled Duke on the glass, but I really think it was the turnovers that hurt them. They had more turnovers than Duke. Duke only had 8 on the night. I think Gonzaga had, I want to say, 14 or 15, which is a little higher than normal. You got to give Duke credit again for climbing up into them, making things difficult. But I think such an emotional game. They were in it till the end. Joey Baker hits a bank three from straightaway. Wendell Moore Jr. had a terrific steal on the baseline inbounds from Chet Holmgren. Those were a couple of the difference makers. But Coach Few had a comment along the lines of, hey, this was a Final Four type of game. It felt like whoever, you know, made the last shot was going to win. And I can't disagree with that. I mean, you extend that game out 2 or 3 more minutes, and it could have gone either way to whoever has the last possession is going to win that game. So that being said, I think it really was a great test early on in the season. It was a great environment for Gonzaga to play in. It was a great learning setting for the young guys to understand, hey, even when we play a team like a Duke, they're going to come after us because of who we are and what we now are perceived at nationally. So it's natural and it's easy after that Friday night game. You get back to Spokane, you could have a little letdown. And I think that's exactly what you saw against Tarleton State. You saw a team that looked flat energy-wise, that looked they didn't look as dialed into the moment as Gonzaga teams usually do. You looked at the body language wasn't as positive as it normally is, and I'm not saying it was bad against Tarleton State. It just wasn't as pick me up, pulling for each other, rooting for each other, positive type body language as we're used to seeing with Gonzaga. But again, these are 18 to 20 year old kids. It's going to happen on occasion, especially when you go from playing, you know, a program like Duke to now a second year Division I team in Tarleton State, where honestly most of the guys on Gonzaga's roster outside of the Texas guys like Drew Timmy, they probably don't know who or what a Tarleton State Texan is. So, you know, lots of things to take from the film, lots of things to learn from, lots of things to now drill on. And Coach Few and staff will definitely have their attention moving forward when they try to impress upon the young Gonzaga ball club that I know you don't know much about this program, this team, but we have to do this, this, and this in order to be successful and win this game. But Tarleton State, give them a lot of credit. They came in with a game plan of defensively doing what they always do. That's being aggressive. That's climbing up into you on every ball handling opportunity, whether it's attack or whether it's getting into offense to make it difficult. It's getting out in the passing lanes and then compete on the glass. Tarleton State did that. You know, they really took Drew Timmy out of the game. Drew Timmy only had 10 points. I say only because it was 1 of 2 from the field, 8 of 12 from the free throw line. So they did a really good job of making life hard on him. You know, and then Tarleton State forced 16 turnovers. Gonzaga won the glass by plus 16. You know, they had a couple players, Tariq Small, that came in and really, when Tarleton State would push in transition, if they didn't have anything, they pulled it back out, and they were very patient in the half court. They would get into dribble weave actions. They would maybe get into a pick and roll where, you know, they would get the guy attacking the who they wanted against a lot of times a Drew Timmy or a Chet Holmgren, because you could see that that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to attack those two guys off the bounce. And it was Tariq Small that really played well. I believe he had 25 last night, and they came in a number of different ways. So he played a really good game. I say a lot of these negatives, but then you look at it, you cannot get too ahead of yourselves and frustrated with it, because Gonzaga still shot 47% from the field. They lead the country in field goal percentage, right around 55. And at the end of the year, they will probably lead the country in that number again. The biggest thing to me was the turnovers on the offensive end, and there were times that they didn't seem like they played with a ton of flow. But all in all, it was one of those games that I think you just have to get through. And now you got through it with a win. You look at it as a learning experience. You watch the film, figure out what you did well, didn't do well. You get the guy's attention on those specific topics, and then you build on it from there. But they don't have a lot of time, because they play another really good team in Seattle over the weekend, and that's Alabama. Alabama's ranked 16th. They would have been ranked top 10, possibly even as high as maybe as 6 or 7, had they not lost to Iona in one of the Thanksgiving week tournaments. I believe that tournament was in Orlando, but Iona knocked off Alabama. Alabama really struggled. Both shooting it from three, which is where, you know, one of their focuses are. They shot sub 30% from three, and they only shot 52% from the free throw line, 13 of 25 against Iona. So those were kind of the determining factors in why Iona came out with that victory. But when you look at Alabama, tremendous head coach in Nate Oates. Hard to believe 9 years ago, Nate Oates was a high school coach in Detroit at Romulus High School, where he was challenging for state tournaments. Bobby Hurley at Buffalo brought him on staff as an assistant. He worked his way up, had a couple years at Buffalo where they had a tremendous run in the NCAA tournament, led him to now being at Alabama. And Alabama is rolling. I mean, obviously Nick Saban with football's got it as good as anybody's ever had it, but Nate Oates and what he's done Alabama basketball has been something to watch. And they play a unique style. Defensively, last year they were top 10 defensive efficiency, so they do a great job of taking away layups, taking away threes, and playing with a lot of pace. But on the flip side, offensively, what they take away is what they focus on. They shoot almost no mid-range shots. They want to get the ball in the paint. If the defense collapse, kick it out to three-point shooters, where many times they'll have four guys that have the green light to shoot from beyond the arc. If the defense doesn't collapse, they want to finish at the rim. And they've got a trio of really good guards. Jaden Shackelford leads them in scoring at almost 19 a game. Devon Quinterly, the Villanova transfer, is very quick, averages around 13. Keon Ellis is a tremendous shooter, about 48% from beyond the arc, makes over two a game. They're going to have to keep an eye on him. And then J.D. Davison, a really good freshman, very quick, very athletic. He can be the X factor in this game, because he is really learning the game. He averages about 8 a game, nearly 5 assists, but he turns it over at a really high rate. Their last game against Miami, he played really well, 13 points, 10 assists, I believe only 3 turnovers. So he's probably, in my estimation, going to be the X factor if Alabama is going to keep it close and have a chance to win. So all in all, a really good 10-day stretch for Gonzaga, and it doesn't get much easier. You talk about Gonzaga wants to play a difficult non-conference schedule. They've already had some difficult Texas, UCLA, Duke being three of them. They had a little bit of a break in Tarleton State, even though Tarleton State gave them a heck of a challenge. Now you're looking at Alabama out of the SEC, UW, even though they're down, they're out of the Pac-12. It's a Northwest game, so the Huskies are going to be excited, ready to go. And then they're also in the next 2.5 weeks or so going to play Texas Tech out of the Big 12. So things don't get much easier. But they're definitely not what it was in the past week with UCLA and Duke. So for the Bulldog Broadcast and the Field of 68 Media Network, I'm Dan Dickow, looking forward to bringing back more guests in the next few upcoming episodes. Take care. Have a great week.